Hi, it's Patrick here, and Big Show host Marco Werman and I have been chatting about the week's language stories in the news. Here's Marco.
Joining me now is our language editor, Patrick Cox, with some stories making linguistic news. Patrick, what have you got for us this week?
Well, Marco, there's an Obamacare story that's been making waves. There's also a report out of Europe on the number of people who speak a second language. Maybe we can do a quiz on that later.
Okay.
But I think the most interesting development is in Turkey, where language is an extremely sensitive issue, especially as it relates to the Kurdish minority. And we asked reporter Dalia Mortada in Istanbul, we asked her to find out about some language reforms that have just been proposed by the Turkish government.
All right, let's hear Dalia's report.
Kurds make up about 20% of Turkey's population, somewhere between 15 and 20 million people. But until the early 1990s, the Kurdish language was illegal in Turkey. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan this week announced a set of reforms aimed at improving the rights of Kurds. One key reform would allow the public use of certain letters in the alphabet. In this instructional video, a teacher goes over these letters. The main ones are X, W, and Q, and they're associated with the Kurdish language. Not so long ago, making a video like this could have landed you in jail. But the taboo against these letters has been fading somewhat. The public ban on these letters is often flouted by Turks, because even though these letters aren't used in the traditional Turkish words, they are used in words loaned from English and other languages. Walat Zeydanlioğlu is the founder of a research group called the Kurdish Studies Network.
These letters have been used widely in the Turkish society. You have like one of the biggest TV channels, Show TV, that has a W. You have major companies that use these letters. But it's when Kurds have used them and using their language that they have been persecuted.
One such example was when the mayor of a city in southeastern Turkey sent out a greeting card wishing citizens a happy Nowruz, or first day of spring. That's with a W, as opposed to the Turkish spelling Nevruz with a V. A case was brought against him for using the illegal letter, but later dropped. But in recent years, Kurdish has become more commonly seen and spoken in Turkey. Many popular musicians sing in Kurdish. There are Kurdish TV channels, and even the Turkish state broadcaster, TRT, has a channel that airs solely in Kurdish. The channel's website is in Kurdish, and on it, the illegal letters appear all over. But Kurdish learning is much more restricted. Istanbul, Turkey's largest city, has only a couple of Kurdish language institutes. The reform announced last week would expand language classes somewhat, but only in private fee-paying schools. Many Turkish commenters welcome the moves as progress in a fledgling peace process. Kurdish rebels declared a ceasefire earlier this year after a 30-year struggle. Now, Kurdish leaders are saying the language reforms don't go far enough.
It's difficult at this stage to tell the Kurds that they should have to pay to teach their children on mother tongue.
Especially, says Zeydanlioğlu, after decades of what he calls linguicidal policy, in which Turkish authorities sought to eliminate the Kurds' ethnic identity by eliminating their language. Today, Turkish kids who enter school often don't know what's happening around them because they don't speak Turkish at home. International human rights groups have reported that Kurdish children have been held back because of discrimination against their mother tongue. In some cases, kids having trouble with Turkish are designated mentally unfit and sent to special education centers. Meanwhile, Kurdish has been associated with ignorance and its linguistic development has stagnated, says Zeydanlioğlu.
The main dialect, Kurmanji, is in very dire situation, although certain things have improved, but it's not passing on to the next generation because there are no avenues for it to evolve like all the other languages.
And the problem for the continued evolution of the Kurdish language is that it's not just a language. It's also a symbol of the Kurds' desire for autonomy, and for many, independence from Turkey. I'm Dalia Mortada for The World in Istanbul. Kaze. Aferin juere.
Another one of those Kurdish instructional videos ending that report there from Dalia. And Patrick, presumably in the age of YouTube, these videos were widely viewed in Turkey, which kind of makes the idea of outlawing certain letters seem anachronistic.
Yeah, it certainly was increasingly ineffective, this ban. But it speaks to the power of language and the fear of giving language rights to a minority group. And that fear, it doesn't just exist in a place like Turkey. Obviously, the banning of letters in the alphabet's a pretty extreme example. But yeah, it's here in the U.S. too. It's come up in the debate over President Obama's healthcare reforms. The administration this week said it was setting up information hotlines, and it said it's prepared to receive and answer questions in 150 different languages.
Wow.
And since then, it's become a real talking point for opponents of Obamacare. Take a listen to this. It's Fox News hosts Bill Hemmer and Martha McCallum.
There are 150 different languages available to those who want to sign up. And 150 different languages are available if you want to make a phone call.
We can test that out.
I got an idea.
Answer our questions in...
How about English?
English. That would be a good start.
Okay, so there's one language.
Right, and it's the same old fear that English is going to lose out here as a result of these other languages being accorded a certain respect. Howie Carr, a Boston Herald columnist, he put it another way. He wrote today that the feds were putting out this info in all of these languages, quote, in order to more properly give away money and services to foreign freeloaders. So I think right now there's this convergence of two issues that really matter to a lot of people here in the U.S. There's opposition to expanding government regulation of healthcare and opposition of expanding government services to non-English speakers.
Yeah, that's amazing. All happening at once. Did you say earlier you had a quiz for me, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one is a very different kind of a subject. This is out of Europe, where the EU has put out some new stats on the number of people from one country to the next who say they know a foreign language. So I want you, Marco, I want you to guess which five EU countries, not including Luxembourg, because the stats for Luxembourg are a bit skewed, but which five have the highest share of people who say they can speak a second language?
I'm going to say the first one's going to be the Netherlands. All those people up there in the northern parts are pretty smart. Netherlands, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and go with Switzerland. They got three already in the bag.
Well, you're sort of in the right ballpark geographically, if not quite the right country. Sweden, you did mention. But actually, the number one is Lithuania.
Huh.
Number two is Latvia. Yeah, so two Baltic states, followed by Denmark, Slovenia, and Sweden.
Wow.
So how about the lowest?
I stink. I didn't get a single one.
Yeah, you did. You got Sweden.
Oh, I got Sweden. Yeah. All right.
How about the other way around, bringing up the rear? Which of the EU countries has the lowest share of people saying they speak a foreign language?
Italy, Spain, Greece, Portugal, and Czech Republic.
Well, you're close again. Okay, so it goes like this. Joint fourth is Portugal and Greece. You got both of those, right? Mm. Third is Spain. Number two, Bulgaria. And the lowest number of second language speakers in an EU country is Hungary.
Huh, Hungary.
That's it for this podcast. By the way, I do hope to bring Cartoon Queen Carol Hills back soon for a little more language news talk. She's game, I'm game. We'll make it happen. Also, big apologies if you've been having any trouble accessing the pod recently or any of the blog posts. We're in transition, and transitions, they're messy. The new website, you can get there one of two ways. You can get there the old way, theworld.org/language, or just type in the new URL, which is pri.org/language. And if you're having any trouble at all downloading or seeing episodes on iTunes or anywhere else, please contact me. You can tweet me at Patrick Cox, that's PatriCox. You can email me. That address is language@pri.org. Or you can post a note at the World in Words Facebook page. Again, I'm really sorry. We hope to have things shipshape very soon. Another pod or two coming next week. See you then.